y'all.
Hi.
And welcome to The Joe Project.
The Joe Project seeks to discover the intersectionality between mental health and the gospel. We want to debunk myths and stop over-spiritualizing mental health. Period. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Listen, we are now on Instagram, and by now, I mean, we were always on Instagram. We are at The Job Project Podcast. That's a name change, at The Job Project Podcast. Go ahead and follow us there. You'll find out more information on other episodes this season, and some community stuff is coming up, I promise.
And also, if you like what we're doing and want to leave us a review, please feel free. I think Apple Podcasts is the only one. Shout out to iPhone users.
All right.
You can leave a review. You can give us 5-star rating. Because if you do so, our podcast is able to reach more people, which is the goal. We want people to know that mental health is okay, that it doesn't need to be stigmatized, nor does it need to be over-spiritualized. So again, leave a review. Leave 5 stars. Leave 6 stars if you can. And we would greatly, greatly appreciate that support.
Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Woo! Hello.
Hi, Val. How are you feeling today?
Interestingly enough, we're going to be talking about a topic that has to do much with how I'm feeling right now.
So corny.
What was that?
It was a laugh. That's what it was. Guys, today the topic is mental health and pregnancy. Oh my god.
Why would they be talking about mental health and pregnancy?
So depending on when this podcast will be posted, I'm pretty sure it's going to be before it. But if you follow us on social media on our personal pages, at C Lily Artist and at A Aniza with a dot after the, I don't know. It's in our.
I'm doing the most.
It's also on our social media at the Joe Project Podcast. You'll see that Valerie is having a baby. She's pregnant, and we're having a little girl, and we're very excited about it. And it's funny because the last few episodes that we've recorded, we already knew we were pregnant. But we didn't talk about it because we were like, we didn't post it on social media yet. But now we did.
So now the whole world knows.
Now the entire world knows. There's a guy in Indonesia that's like, Valerie's pregnant. but yeah, we're really excited about it. But we also, being the Job Project, Mental Health and the Gospel, we were like, yo, how does mental health and pregnancy kind of intersect? Like, what does that actually look like, right? And I know that you, Valerie... now you have firsthand experience with all of the stuff that could happen.
So fun.
Yeah. So we wanted to jump into this. First of all, the topic is important. Why is the topic important? Well, I think as a guy, as just a dude, just Valerie's husband, you know, I want to support her the best way that I can, as a partner, as a spouse. But mental health and pregnancy, I feel like it comes with some unique challenges, right? I also know that around 20% of pregnant women experience mental illness while they're pregnant. Now, that's not an insignificant number. It's not like, oh, it's only just one person in the world. It's like a significant number of people. So it's a real possibility that if you're a person who becomes pregnant, that, you know, something may come up for you. And that's, it's important to just have the information and know what's going on. So because I always want to base it off of a scripture and kind of center us around there. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 20 and 21, it says, "Listen to advice and adopt instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So even if you're not a person who may experience mental illness, especially during pregnancy, it's still beneficial and wise to learn what to do, you know, in case of. Especially since you're going to have friends who get pregnant. You're going to have loved ones who get pregnant. And if you're not going through the thing, maybe you want to know how to support the person going through the thing. So that's why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So there's two things that I don't know how to, the words are never my strong suit, even though I'm the writer. But there are two main things that we wanted to kind of not debunk, but compare and contrast for a second, and that's perinatal depression and anxiety versus postpartum depression and anxiety. Those are big words, Valerie. What do they mean?
So, perinatal depression and anxiety is, I think it seems to be depression and anxiety symptoms that correlate with pregnancy. Like, you weren't experiencing these symptoms before, like, you don't have a history of them, but as a result of becoming pregnant, you are starting to experience some of the symptoms. And with depression and anxiety in particular, I researched a lot more on perinatal depression. I think anxiety is something that's new, so I think they're still doing research on it, or if they have it, they need to. A lot of the symptoms look exactly like depression, which we've talked extensively about on this podcast, so please refer back to any episodes about depression. The only difference is that, you know, there are often thoughts about being a horrible parent or not being an adequate mother or having concerns about the pregnancy and things of that nature. And I'm assuming anxiety probably looks similar to anxiety symptoms and anxiety disorders, but it's much more pregnancy related and probably more revolved around the baby and navigating what that change will look like. And then postpartum, I think more people are familiar with, is after you have the baby and the hormones start to fluctuate towards a downward spiral, but they lessen, and to a heavy degree, because once you have the baby, your hormones are trying to revert back to normal. So there's a very huge drop in like estrogen and progesterone, which are the hormones that play a part in pregnancy. And that can often cause people to experience some of these symptoms as well as a result of having a child. I know when you first get pregnant, you experience a huge increase of these symptoms. And I think any fluctuation in hormones can impact the other hormones that play a part in your body's natural chemistry. And as a result, if you're already predisposed to certain disorders, they're most likely going to be exacerbated. Or if you've never had them before, then it might cause some things to come out. So, I don't have a lot of experience with postpartum stuff because I'm not, you know, I haven't given birth yet.
Valerie, you have no experience with
postpartum stuff. Right, I don't have any. Sorry, I don't know. What did I say?
You said I don't have very much. That's like me saying I don't have much experience with postpartum depression.
Okay, yeah. So I have no
wild
experience with postpartum depression or anxiety. So maybe I'll be able to talk more about that after we have a child. I'm not saying I hope I get it, but if I do, then I can speak more about it in my experience. But I do have experience dealing with during pregnancy.
Yeah. I think that we're going to talk a little bit more about your experience in a couple minutes, but you actually started talking about why pregnancy impacts mental health a little bit already, because you were talking about those fluctuating hormone levels. I don't know the hormones. You do. But, you know, those hormone levels actually are fluctuating. They're going up. They're going down. They're doing all types of wild things, right? I think the other part that I've seen from the outside looking in is that, like, the various symptoms that people, you know all about, like the morning sickness and the having to pee all the time, like, it's hard to deal with those symptoms, right? But I think the one that people are, I feel like people are more ashamed to talk about is when pregnancy is unexpected. And it's like, this doesn't fit, not only does this not fit in with my plan, but I kind of don't want to be pregnant right now, or I don't want to have a baby because it's going to change everything.
And that's normal because I did experience that. We have had an unexpected pregnancy where it was a complete surprise. It was completely God's plan.
God's plan.
Shout out to Drake, I guess. But yeah, so for me, it's like at first I realized I was more happy than I anticipated, and I think you were too. Like, we both cried. We both were like, oh my gosh, is this happening? We went to go eat out and celebrate. And then I think week 6 or 7 or 8, when the symptoms really set in, that excitement dropped drastically. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it had to do with, wow, I wasn't expecting this. So even though I was excited at first, now I'm really experiencing the symptoms, nausea. I didn't vomit, thank God, but I had nausea all the time, food aversions. I was exhausted all of the time, which I'll talk a little bit more, talk about more later. But that coupled with the fact that we weren't planning it and it was completely unexpected. I think you had just decided to quit your job and work part-time and I was going to transition to full-time. So a lot of decisions that we had made didn't seem to make sense with what was happening. So naturally we were looking at God like, okay, Lord, we literally took all these faith steps and now we have another being to take care of without the security that we once had. Mm-hmm. So I think that also exacerbated some of the things that I was experiencing. And I'm sure for you, even though you're not pregnant, as somebody who's going to become an unexpected father, which I'm sure we have some on our podcast.
Were you about to say papa?
I don't know what I was going
to
say.
About to be a pappy.
The paternal figure.
Okay.
You're about to be a whole dad. You know, it's also nerve-wracking for you because it is also going to be a transition for you as well. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, everything is a transition.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be pregnant either.
Right.
At some point. And I think that's completely normal and we should normalize it. Like, I understand it is a blessing because a lot of people are working really hard and going through monstrous amounts of fertility treatment, have gone through miscarriages. So they're like, wow, they just got pregnant unexpected. Like, they should be excited and blessed. And we do feel blessed. We know that this is a blessing.
Multiple things can be true at the same time.
And we also acknowledge that at some points during this pregnancy, we were like, dang, we really didn't want this because we didn't feel like we were ready. We were probably overthinking it, but we also, you know, felt like we weren't ready. So it being unexpected was a stressor, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So that we got a little bit of your experience. That's the week 6 and 7. That was rough, Valerie. I was there.
First trimester, they do not tell. When I tell y'all, when I get a mic, and I guess I have a mic right now, so I'm going to spill all the tea. I'm spilling all the tea. The first trimester sucks. It is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. I don't know if that's dramatic, but it felt like it. I'll talk more about it when we get to, you know, Val's experience portion, but my gosh.
We're already in Val's experience portion. What are you talking about?
Okay, you just need to
ask. You are not following this outline.
You need to ask questions, because I'm going to just start ranting.
Valerie, what's your experience?
Okay, here we go. So I tried to do research about this. There's not a lot, but I realized that you really can't do experiments and stuff like that on pregnant women because it's kind of, you know, unethical because there's a whole child.
Guys, it's not kind of unethical. It's very unethical.
Sorry, don't listen to her. I don't know why I downplayed it. But yeah. Essentially, I was having a hard time finding research to help explain my experiences other than hormones and fatigue and all this stuff. So because there's such a rise in hormone levels, when your first trimester happens, you're building a baby essentially from a little egg and a sperm. So you're going from, what is it, like a blastocyst to an embryo to a whole fetus. And then on top of that, I didn't realize it, you're growing a placenta. So you're also growing an entirely new organ on top of everything else that's happening. So during that first trimester, I was exhausted all of the time. And I started experiencing that exhaustion and subsequent depressive symptoms even before we found out we were pregnant. Because I remember I had a bout of like a couple of days where it was just, I felt so low. I didn't understand what was happening. I would try to play tennis and do things that really bring me a lot of self-care and bring me a lot of joy. None of it worked, and I was late by like 5 days. The last month, I was late by 3 days, so I thought, okay, maybe my hormones are fluctuating. We just got back from vacation, and that's when I took the test and found out. Like I said, brief period of elation, where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm pregnant. We're telling people, well, not everybody, but we told a few people. So naturally, I'm like excited to share news with our closest people. But then, like they say, week 6 to 8, is when the symptoms really start to happen. So I experienced a heavy bout of depression. I thought I was experiencing perinatal. My therapist pointed out that I was already predisposed to anxiety and depression. So she thinks that the pregnancy hormones just made it worse, which I think I agree with her, which is why I try to make that distinction before. Sometimes when you get pregnant and you already have a mental illness, it can exacerbate that mental illness. That's not everybody's experience, but it could be. And again, if you're pregnant, never had mental illness, it could become a factor. But yeah, for me, the first trimester was hard. I was very depressed. Couldn't get out of the couch because I spent a lot of time on the couch watching TV. I slept 2-3 hours in the middle of the day. It was hard to get out and do things. It was hard to talk to people. It was hard to be motivated to do anything. And on top of that, because of pregnancy, I'm like physically exhausted. My body is trying to sustain life for myself, for now a new human being, and it's creating a new organ. And I think for me, it was very hard to actualize that because I don't see it happening. So I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, I know I'm pregnant and I know this is tough, but like, why can I get up? Why can I do all these different things? And, you know, I had to reach out to my mom. My mom kind of helped. She's not the greatest emotionally supportive person, I'll be honest. Chris's mom was very helpful. She's like, yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel justified because you can't see this invisible thing that's happening, but a lot is happening. My sister came and she was like, Valerie, go take that nap. You're literally growing fingernails, like chill out. And that helped bring it to my attention. But I just felt bad. I was irritable. Chris can attest to some of the symptoms that I was experiencing. And again, we weren't expecting it. So I was excited, but now I was like, wow, but how am I going to be a mother? Like, I'm trying to find a full-time job now. Chris just quit his job, so I need to find a full-time job. Like, financially, we need to be more secure. I thought we would have more money beforehand. Like, all these different thoughts on top of the fact that I was exhausted and very unmotivated. So like I said, when I looked up perinatal depression, I experienced all the symptoms minus like the suicidal thoughts. It was more like I just wanted to disappear. And then I also didn't abuse any alcohol or drugs. And then with food, I usually turn to food. Because of food aversions, I was struggling and I felt really bad about that because we were spending a lot of money eating out. But it's like if we went grocery shopping and we bought something to make, I would want it that day. And then the next day be completely turned off by it. I love...
Tell them the story about the lemon water.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't drink regular water for some reason because it made me nauseous. So I started drinking lemon water and that really helped. Chris figured out how to like squeeze like a whole half a lemon into the water.
All right, it's my turn. Listen, here we go. She loved lemon water. So me being a husband, being a spouse, being wonderful. a helpmeet. I went and I took a lemon and I squeezed that mug. I squeezed it so much. I got like 17 lemon juice. Like it's mad juice, right? I put it in the bottle. I put that water in there. I shook it up. I was like, babe, here you go. This is perfect. It's tart. It's wonderful.
I loved it.
She was like, this is delicious. Until
the next day, I taught Zumba. I went to a bridal shower and I brought my lemon water just in case they didn't have it. I ate some food. And then for some reason, once I got that lemon water, I'm like, this is the worst water I've ever had in my life.
Do you hear that?
And that it was literally a day difference. See, on top, you know why? You feel crazy during your first trimester. If you've never experienced pregnancy, and I'm sure it fluctuates even if you've had multiple pregnancies, you feel so unlike yourself because so many things start to change. Your body's changing. Your thoughts are changing. Your feelings are unstable because there's a lot of mood instability in pregnancy. There's no doubt about it. It's true. And I felt like I was such a burden to you. Because of how much you had to do, how much you had to adjust, how much money we had to spend because of my food aversions. Mm. And I hate wasting food. I hate wasting things. I hate inconveniencing people. But it just felt like I constantly was doing that because of the symptoms I had. So on top of all those hormone fluctuations, you just feel so out of control with what you thought was normal. Because now it's not normal. Nothing is normal in your body. So that made it worse for me because I like to be in control of my body. I like to be in control of how I respond to things. I like to get up and do stuff and, you know, contribute to society. And I felt like I could do absolutely nothing.
Anxiety. I mean, yeah, I agree. Right. So this makes me think of the two stressors that we kind of identified. There's probably more, right? But like two big buckets that I'm thinking of is one, the pregnancy being unexpected, and just that kind of encompasses, having a baby. Oh, my whole life is going to change, right? The actual physical pregnancy symptoms, right? So when I think of that stressor for the unexpected pregnancy, like for me, that is definitely both parents, right? Like I feel like like you said, when you come to terms with the fact that, oh, a new life is coming into the world and you're going to be in charge of it. Right?
Forever.
I still go to my mom's house and take coffee. Hi, Mom. but you're going to be in charge of them forever. So as soon as they're born, that spare room, that's not a spare room anymore, right? Or if you don't have a spare room, no, you don't. You absolutely do not, right? Budget changes. Got to think of baby food and wipes, right? Job security. You have to think about that, right? God forbid God is the one who says, okay, don't get a job. Then you got to rely on the Lord for provision, eat that much more. That's wild and crazy, right? But because of an unexpected pregnancy, you could be dealing with major unexpected life changes, like I said, maybe uncertainty about the future.
Not maybe, definitely.
Definitely, okay.
Who, all right. Especially for first time.
I mean, but, okay, listen. Some people out there are prayer warriors and better Christians than me. That's why I'm saying maybe, oh, baby's coming. This is a gift from the Lord. Not worried in the slightest. Now, that's probably unrealistic, but I'm just
completely.
Saying. And I'm just saying, because like when it comes to uncertainty of the future, feeling overwhelmed, feeling unable to manage, like, you know, the stuff that you could do before, it's like, oh, everything really is about to change. And that could cause already existing mental health stuff to worsen or... it could cause something to develop in the moment. Like, I think of how, I've had depression my whole life, right? But when I started teaching, that exacerbated it. I've always had depression, but when I came to terms with, student loan debt, that exacerbated it. So those things exacerbate it. So the unexpected pregnancy, that's what it could do. That's one of the stressors that we identified. Another is just dealing with the pregnancy symptoms.
My gosh.
Right? You mentioned the extreme fatigue, growing a baby, the placenta is forming, frustration with morning sickness, frequent urination. The frequent urination I've seen for you has also affected your ability to get a good night's sleep, which then exacerbates your symptoms. Because think about it. Who is their best self on 3 hours total of sleep? Zero people. That's the answer. You were incorrect if you said anything else.
Yes.
And then the increase of hormones. So not only are you on top of everything, stressed out, frustrated, overwhelmed, but also your hormones are doing wild and crazy things, right? The
progesterone.
Thank you. And the estrogen, there's a huge increase in it, which causes mood swings, fatigue, irritability, and tearfulness. Valerie has cried more in the last 6 months than she cries a lot. It's a good thing. Martine says that it's emotional peeing. Hi, Martine.
Martine is my sister.
Hi, Martine.
Emotional peeing. We'll ever forever coin that term. But yeah, I've cried a lot more for things that are very... I don't want to say minor because I don't want to say that crying over minor things isn't okay. It's just abnormal for me to cry when you get me a chicken sandwich. He got me a spicy chicken sandwich.
This happened today.
Because that's all I wanted today. I didn't want anything we have in the fridge, even though I went grocery shopping on Wednesday and bought a bunch of stuff. And he went, he got it for me. I got out of bed finally, was so excited. He had the sandwich in his hands, smiling at me. And I started to cry because I was so grateful that he went to do that for me. Yeah.
Okay, so I realized
I forgot to talk about something.
Oh, okay. So did I.
Finish but you your go, thought.
No, because I forgot. To, no, because I forgot to talk about something.
What?
What did you forget to talk about?
I forgot to talk about like the physical changes that are happening to my body.
All right, we'll talk about your physical changes first. Go ahead. Well, okay. I mean, but that's a pregnancy symptom, so it's part of this.
It's part of this, but I didn't even talk about the fact that my belly is getting bigger, and being a plus size woman, particularly now, pregnancy is hard in general for. I'm assuming everyone. Some people have easy pregnancies. Shout out to you if you like enjoyed it and having a great time. I am not. First, there's a hormone called relaxin that happens in your body. And that relaxin is meant to help slow things down, like your digestive system. Well, not slow things down. I'm sorry. It's supposed to help relax your hips and joints and certain aspects of your body that are trying to accommodate a growing uterus and a fetus. And on top of that, because it's fluctuating in your body, your stomach is also slowing down its processes. So heartburn, indigestion. For me, I don't go to the bathroom until the morning. And it's like in the morning, everything just, I hope this isn't TMI, comes out in one way or another. I mean, thankfully I haven't vomited, so it comes out the other way. As a plus size woman, I'm recognizing that there's very little representation of what it looks like to be pregnant and plus size. Because unfortunately, at the beginning of our pregnancy, I just looked like I just gained weight and gained fat around my stomach. Whereas somebody who isn't plus size and has maybe a flatter stomach, it's a little bit more visible for people to recognize that you may be pregnant. On top of that, at going to doctor's office, I was automatically put on the high risk. Granted, I did have fibroids and I did have a surgery, so that did automatically put me at high risk. But the doctor did not fail to mention that you're plus size, so you're high risk for high blood pressure, pre-gestational diabetes, and all this different stuff, which, by the way, that has to do more with your placenta than anything. But I guess because I'm plus size, I'm high risk. Haven't had any of them yet, praise God, but it's different things like that. Like, navigating the actual physiological changes that your body is going through is really difficult for me. Like, I've struggled with body image my entire life. I've been trying to grapple it with therapy and recognizing how to love myself and accept my body for what it does and how it's carried me, and look at it more objectively so that I'm able to look at it a little bit more positively. But this pregnancy has taken a toll on how I view my body as well, because so much of it is changing. And unfortunately, the changes that are being made don't look like what I see on TV, what I see in magazines. Going to the store to find clothes now is even harder than it already was, because being plus size, there's not a lot of plus size clothing stores near us. And unfortunately, that means that maternity clothes, being plus size, is even less of a likelihood for me to find near us. So those constant messages in my face make me feel, I don't want to say less than, but it doesn't validate what I'm going through. It definitely invalidates some of my experiences. So that's also been really challenging to navigate. So I hope that helps somebody to know, hey, you're not alone. Society has an issue. We need more representation everywhere. Amen? Amen.
go off, sis. Right. I don't know why I said that. That was wild. But yeah, so
I mean, I agree with the sentiment.
I agree with the sentiment, too, even though it's my sentiment. But yeah, I've watched all of this happen for you. And I think that the thing that I remembered is I'm watching all of this as an outside participant.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, how has it been as a husband, or for anyone, as a partner of somebody with pregnancy and having mental illness, not just for the pregnant person, but for yourself?
I mean, it's fine. No.
Is it?
It's fine. Is no, it? Okay, here's what I mean.
Go off, bro.
All right, calm down. It's okay. Here's what I mean. So this is for me, because I realize that some of the things that I do and the things that I believe are not widely practiced according to you and your Facebook posts and your Facebook groups, right? If Valerie wants a chicken sandwich, it's in the budget, and we have a plan to make sure that there's something healthy that's also accompanying it or happening later, then I'm gonna just go get the sandwich. Like, in my head, it doesn't make sense for me to, like, give you a hard time for that. And part of that is because I only see from the outside what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your experience turmoil is like. Oh, okay. Oh my God.
I know that was really dramatic. But it's like, if I don't have the sandwich, I'm going to be upset. And not like upset like the world sucks. It's more like I am not craving anything other than this. And you've seen, if I eat something that I'm not craving, I get nauseous. It's right. So weird. Anyway, continue.
But yeah, it does get hard, specifically when you're going through something and you're sad or you're upset or whatever. A mood swing has happened, or you want to get something and either we can't because it's not in the budget, or I'm like, you shouldn't do it because it's not a healthy choice in this moment. It'll be a healthy choice tomorrow, you know, trying to spread these things out. It gets hard when you get sad or you get upset or you're feeling pain, or and there's nothing that I can do, right? Like, I've talked to you, and I don't know if you felt this, people listening, but I've talked to you about how, like, Let's say you're fatigued. I don't know what to do about that. There is nothing that I can do except let you be fatigued, right? If you're nauseous or nauseated and the only thing you want is water and that's the only thing you can consume and crackers, like, and I'm watching you, so there's nothing that I can do. And that's not any different than before if you had something wrong. I remember when we first got married and you had your surgery, you had a hard time getting up off the couch, but like it was just pain and I couldn't do anything about the pain. I could help you up, I could help you sit down, but I couldn't do anything about the pain. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of
helplessness.
Yeah. And I know that you've talked to me about experiencing it on your end, but as a person who's truly seeking to support you give you what you need as you carry our child, it's like, yo, there's actually only so much that I can do. Like, I actually do have to trust God a lot more and trust that not only are you healthy and that the baby's healthy, because, like, we know that. We actually know that you are healthy and that the baby's healthy. But, you know, I also want to make sure that mentally you're okay. And there's not much that I can do about that sometimes. So it can get hard, especially when those feelings of helplessness come out. I don't know if that's the same for y'all listening. If it is, let us know. Send us a message on our Instagram at The Joe Project Podcast. Okay, sorry. Quick plug. okay, so Valerie, we're going to close out our time. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could give advice, the best advice that you have to someone who's carrying a baby right now, and they're like, maybe I do have perinatal anxiety or depression, or I know I have anxiety, but now I'm pregnant. What advice would you give them?
What we always say, go see a therapist or counselor, preferably a therapist, somebody who's licensed and certified and has done 1,500 plus hours of work to be trained and well-equipped to help you. My therapist has been super clutch in helping me recognize some of the things that I was having a hard time recognizing. Like, this is really hard. I think pregnant women, she literally said this, I love her so much. Pregnant women should be able to eat whatever they want. And I'm like, you know what? You are right, because whatever we're eating is the only thing our body wants at the time. She obviously said it within reason and within context of that conversation. But she helped me to normalize what I was going through, to validate what I was feeling, and to help me recognize certain patterns of thinking and distortive ways of thinking that I was operating in as a result of being pregnant. So I definitely recommend seeing a therapist and getting that support. I definitely received great advice from my therapist about being present. And that's something she told me recently, because I told her all of the things that I was stressed out about and how often the stressors come to my brain and how I ruminate on them. And she was like, those are symptoms of OCD, one. And I'm like, we know we have OCD. I guess pregnancy is making that worse too. Great. But she told me to just be in the present and focus on my present needs at the time, instead of focusing on all the other needs that I have had, all the other needs that I'm going to have, and getting overwhelmed by it all. So something that is drilled in me is like, okay, Valerie, how are we feeling in this moment now? And how are we feeling in the next moment after that? And in the next moment. And that's been helping me to recognize times where I've been really tired. Like, second trimester, I did experience that honeymoon that they're talking about, minus like some physical discomfort. And I am losing that honeymoon period. Like, I'm starting to feel fatigued and low again. And the third trimester apparently is very hard physically because of the baby's growth. So I'm having to learn, like, after a day of full activity, like, I just cooked for a couple hours, went to my cousin's house to see her and her new baby, drove. And today I was completely exhausted. Like, I slept at night, peed a couple times, but it wasn't too bad. And I took like an hour and a half, 2 hour nap on the couch right before we recorded this. And I have to recognize, like, Val, it's okay. You needed it, because clearly you were exhausted enough to sleep for 2 hours this afternoon. So being present and trying to be really in tune with what I need at the time and being okay with that need. So that's been really helpful, including why I wanted the spicy chicken sandwich. Like, right now I'm craving McGriddles from McDonald's, has been something new. I never had McDonald's, not really, in the past like 7 or 8 years. And now I want McGriddles. I'm probably going to get some tomorrow before Zumba. Damn McGriddles, man. But like that's the type of stuff that happens. And that craving comes and it's really strong. It's very potent. And when I eat it, it's like all the world melts away and I feel so much better. And yes, couple that with maybe a smoothie with a lot of spinach in it, so that I'm also getting nutrients. I'm also taking my prenatals, but not to feel guilty about these things that are happening to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had cravings before. Pregnancy cravings are times 1,000. I don't care what anybody says. If you've never been pregnant before, you don't understand cravings about pregnancy until it happens. And it's real. It's very real and it's very necessary. So for me, it's learning, all right, Val, you have this craving. Maybe insert some vegetables or some fruits into your diet in addition to what you're craving, so that there's a healthy balance, but you're also really happy to eat what you got. So, because I never crave healthy food, ever.
Pray for her.
So yeah, being present and learning that being present is okay. And attending to the needs in the present is okay. That's been really helpful.
Got it.
Yeah.
Valerie, ask me the question. Ask me what advice I have for those who are supporting people who are pregnant.
Actually, first I wanted to ask...
Oh, do you have a separate question?
I do.
Wait, okay.
Because I understand that I'm pregnant and you emphasize this all the time. You're the one carrying the child. You're the one dealing with all the hormone fluctuations. You're the priority right now. And I do get that. And I'm... Well, I don't. I'll be honest. I cry about it all the time because I'm like, you can do so much for me all the time.
You'll be fine.
But for you, it's been an adjustment. Mm-hmm. So what things have you been able to do or navigate to help you deal with the fact that you are becoming an unexpected father, you're having to be a husband to a pregnant woman, and now you're having to lead not just me as our family, but now another human being who's a part of that. Like, how have you been coping? How have you been working through it? And what advice could you offer those who are partners to people who are pregnant?
There we go, because all of that's the same question. It's funny because I have my notes in front of me, but I forgot all of the words. The first thing I think of is I'm not ready. But when I say I'm not ready, I mean that you're never going to be ready. Everybody around me has told me, oh, when you find out that you're going to have a baby, no one is truly ready to become a parent.
Good advice.
Remembering that is helpful because it kind of just lets me know that, like, the feelings that I'm having are normal. The feelings that we're having, but, you know, because I'm not carrying the baby, we're talking about me right now. the feelings that I'm having are normal. Oh, I'm scared of the future. That's normal. I don't know if I'm going to be a good dad. That's also normal. Like, people experience that after their children have left the house. That's wild and crazy, right? I think that I've kind of recommitted myself to a morning routine that includes...
Journaling!
Valerie's watched me journal. This week in particular, I've journaled almost every single day.
With coffee, of course.
Absolutely. Why was that even a qualifier? Y'all know, listen, y'all, if y'all don't know nothing, me and coffee are best friends. Okay.
True.
But yeah, every morning I've also been, and when I journal, it's not just my feelings, because I try and catch them as often as I possibly can, but I'm also journaling based off of what my devotion is. And I'm actually working through a devotional right now so that I don't get, I need the structure. That's for me. I need it. And I'm learning about the names of God. And that's really helpful because it just reminds me of who God is. And I think that's the other piece that I would say is that, like, I'm not able to do any of this without the help of the Holy Spirit. Like,
straight up.
Like, because Valerie, listen here, y'all. Valerie can't hear me now. Valerie will ask me to pick up 17 things off the floor in a row. And it's only the Holy Spirit. I'm kidding. She will ask me that. But I can...
And feel really bad about it.
But it really is the Holy Spirit that kind of gives me the grace to, you know, serve her in that way. So I think that if I were to give advice, one, read your Bible. Two, you also should go to therapy and talk to your therapist about the struggles that you may be having, especially if it's something that is really causing you a lot of distress. I think that you would need to practice giving grace both to your partner and to yourself. It's hard. Like, all of this is hard, and you're not experiencing the symptoms, but you're experiencing the aftermath. So your partner needs grace because they don't know what's going on, and you need grace because you're reacting to the fact that they don't know what's going on, and therefore, neither do you. I think that I've tried to lovingly challenge you, but only, like, when the time is right. Like, this morning with the chicken sandwich wasn't the time to challenge you, right? If you said right now, let's go get a McGriddle, I would lovingly challenge you. And when I say...
Which is why I'm going to get it for breakfast tomorrow instead.
So when I say lovingly, what I mean is, Valerie, ask me if we can get a McGriddle after the podcast.
Babe, can we get a McGriddle after the podcast?
So we had the chicken sandwich earlier, so I think we should probably push the McGriddle to tomorrow if you're still feeling it.
Fine.
We need to have something good for you. Do y'all see how I didn't scream at my wife and be like, girl, you wildin'. Stop. No, absolutely not. The thing is,
if I really wanted it and it was bad, we would have had further discussion. But I already decided in my heart, I'm going to get it tomorrow morning for breakfast.
Yep. So lovingly challenge when the time is right. My last two, I'll go through quick. Take care of yourself. Like,
ooh.
That's why I'm journaling. Because if I'm not okay, then how am I supposed to serve my wife? And then the last part is, go to the doctor's appointments and be present. Because if you're at the doctor's appointments with your wife and you're aware of the things that could go wrong, the things that we need to look out for, all of those other things, and you know what the topics are, then when your spouse or your partner is like starting to catastrophize, you could be part of the team that helps kind of recenter them, right? And if you're going into this blind and you don't know what you don't know, then when your partner starts talking to you about gestational diabetes and you're like, diabetes, what now? My wife has diabetes. Like, that may cause further mental stress later on down the line. So those are my hot tips for the people supporting other people.
I mean, I think you also brought to home how important it is to take care of yourself. And I think we often can neglect spiritual health.
And I said, read your Bible.
Right. And even further than that, journal, talk to the Lord about the things that you're feeling and are vulnerable with. Like at this point, we look at the pregnancy like, Lord, this is your baby. Because there's also stressors about, is the baby healthy? Am I going to be healthy? You read horror stories on this Facebook groups that you join or some of these chats where people are sharing their struggles, but then it makes you wonder about your own pregnancy and what's going to happen. Like, I'm still worried I'm going to get gestational diabetes because I eat carbs all the time now. But I'm just praying to the Lord for help with that. I try to exercise as much as I can to try to combat it in my own way. But I think something that kind of took it home for me when you were talking is this idea of active patience. Our pastor did a sermon about it. I think we were in James, where we're taught to practice patience and going through trials. He said that God is a farmer, so he's about seed, time, and then harvest. And for us, God gave us this baby, and we've had 9 months to patiently, somewhat anxiously, but patiently wait for this child. So what can we do in the meantime? And I feel like as a pregnant woman, it's learning how to set up boundaries, learning how to be present with yourself, learning how to be vulnerable and transparent with other people, and to normalize your experience. Because God isn't looking at me like, girl, you need to get your life together. Stop acting crazy. He's like, you're going through a lot. I know the process that I created within the woman's body. You're creating a miracle. I'm creating a miracle within you, but it's physically taxing on you, and that's okay. For you as a support, I could imagine that God's been teaching you active patience as well. It's like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how to be a dad. It probably would be, I'm not saying easier, but once the baby gets here, it's like now we'll get to put into practice the things that we're ruminating about in our head about what to do. How do we navigate this? How do we navigate that? It's all so abstract and we can't apply it concretely until she gets here. So until then, we're actively trying to work around the other things. So you being an active support system, getting educated about the different things about pregnancy, talking to me about my symptoms and being very, you know, gracious and loving and understanding and not assuming or judging is an opportunity to wait, but to actively wait, where you're not just doing anything and twiddling your thumbs and stressed out, but you're doing things to help with the ongoing process of where we're headed. Because when we have the baby, you're already putting into practice a lot of things that we're going to need to continue doing. So I did want to highlight that God is a really important part, if not the central part of this entire story. Because again, this is his baby. I always say, God, this is your baby. We didn't plan it. We just, you know, we're having a good time, enjoying our vacation, and you brought this about. So it's best to go to the source on to how to navigate these things. And I love that God uses people, so therapists, I know some pregnant women have to go on medication. Please talk to your doctor about medication. Please talk to your doctor about stopping certain medications if you're already on. Do not stop doing things that, you know, you're treating your mental illness until your doctor directs you. Because I also wanted to highlight that because this is a mental health podcast. And yeah, like there were certain things I had to stop taking. I had to stop eating and certain things like that. So it's important to have a good, honest relationship with your doctor, OBGYN, and other doctors that are involved. And then also, if you don't feel supported or advocated for, switch doctors if you can, because this is a very hard and stressful time. And God would want to surround you with people who are wise counsel. And some doctors, you know, are just not wise counsel in the way that you need it. So all that to say, go to the Lord in prayer and help, allow him to help you navigate this very, I don't want to say unprecedented times, because I feel like we hear that phrase 85 million times.
Unprecedented times, because the times have really been unprecedented.
But yeah, so we hope this podcast helps. You know, we are excited. We're a little nervous still. We're less nervous than we were before. I think because it's become more of a reality and we've got to see her on ultrasounds. Chris felt her kick for the first time yesterday. Mm-hmm. We think she's going to be a diva. We don't know yet, but it's been pretty exciting to imagine what life is going to be like with a little girl running around the apartment. So we're more overjoyed than scared and anxious, but you know, it's okay.
We'll see how I feel tomorrow.
Right. It fluctuates, definitely. But yeah, at the same time,
you want to know when it fluctuates?
When?
When we got to pay bills.
Yeah.
Right? Thanks, y'all, for listening. Appreciate you.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.